There's a passage of Scripture in the book of Psalms, Psalm 130. Are you familiar with that psalm? Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4. It says, If thou, Lord, who is Lord? If thou shouldest mark iniquities, if thou shouldest charge men with all their iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Who shall stand? But, here's good news, but there is forgiveness with thee. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Now, this message I'm going to bring to you today, it's entitled, Let's Consider These Things. Consider these things. Let's think a little bit and consider some mighty important things. This message is a message I wish that I had heard many, 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 many years ago. I did hear it about 40 years ago. I wish I'd heard it when I first became interested in religion. I wish I had. This message is the message that all the world really needs to hear and is not hearing. No, it's just not, this message not being preached. And this message, if I had only one message to preach, one, I've thought about this a great deal, if I only had one sermon left to preach, and my audience was the whole world, I believe this is the message that I'd bring. I really believe this is the one that I'd bring. It consists of three serious and yet simple questions. Three important and yet simple questions. In fact, actually, I use the word vital. Three vital questions. And here they are. The first one is, just how holy is God? How holy is God? The second question is, well, how sinful is man? And the third question is born of those two. If God is perfectly, immaculately holy, and man is infinitely, unchangeably wicked, then how can man be just with God? How can he be clean that's born of a woman? That's three good questions. Well, the first one, you know, the Word of God plainly declares in Psalm 99, the Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for the Lord our God is holy. God is holy. Habakkuk said the Lord is in his holy temple. It didn't say the Lord's in his loving temple. He's in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Zephaniah 1:7 says, you just hold your peace now at the presence of the Lord, for he's holy. O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Holy, holy, and reverend is his name. How holy is God? Well, I wish I could answer that question. I know that I can't. I can't. But if I could, well, there wouldn't be any breath left in you or me, either one. You know, Isaiah, when Isaiah saw the holiness of God, when he literally beheld the holiness of God, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple, and the cherubims and seraphims around the throne cried, holy, 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 holy is the Lord of hosts. And he cried, I'm cut off. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm surrounded by people of unclean lips. John saw the holiness of God on the Isle of Patmos, a 90-year-old disciple. And he said he heard a voice as the voice of many waters. And he turned to see the voice that spake to him. And he saw and beheld the Son of God in his glory. And he said, I fell at his feet as a dead man. Job saw his holiness. He said, Lord, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear. Now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I hate myself. I abhor myself. I put my hand on my mouth. This is Job. Job the righteous. Job the patient one. I put my hand over my mouth. I've spoken about things that are too wonderful for me. Holiness is God's chief attribute. If I were to ask you today, in one word, describe God. In one word, describe God. The Bible does. Holy. Most people say God is love. God's love is a holy love. His angels are called the holy angel, not the loving angels. His temple is called not the loving temple, it's the holy temple. The place of worship is the Holy of Holies. His word is called His Holy Word. When the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, he wore written on his mitre, not God is love, holiness to the Lord. God's holy. How holy is God? So holy even Moses couldn't look upon God and live. God is so holy that the sons of Aaron, he had two boys, and they offered strange fire, and God is so holy, he sent fire from heaven and consumed both of them. How holy is God? He's so holy that Uzzah, you know, when they were transporting the ark back to its rightful place, and he reached back to touch, to keep the ark from falling off the ox cart, and God killed him for touching the ark of the covenant. God is so holy, good King Uzziah was smitten with leprosy for trying to burn incense in the presence of the Lord and usurping the office of the priest. He's so holy that the seraphims around the throne cover their faces and their feet when they are in his presence. He's so holy that he deserted his own beloved Son when he was hanging on that cross bearing our sins. God is holy. I tell you, if you would learn anything of the living God, learn first, God is holy. Now, I'm telling you the truth. If you would learn anything about the living God, learn first. Let this be the first lesson. Come, my children, I teach you the fear of the Lord. The beginning of wisdom is not God is love. The scripture says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. God is holy. That's where you start. That's kindergarten. Have I overestimated? Have I exaggerated? No, sir, let me tell you something. I've understated God's holiness. Paul said he went to the third heaven and he saw things, heard things. It's not possible to put in human language. The holiness of heaven, the holiness of God's presence, and so majestic, so magnificent, no human words can carry or convey what it is. Now that's the holiness of God. Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit, we name Thee. While in essence Thou art one, living God, we praise Thee. Fill the heaven with one accord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. He's holy. All right, here's the second question. How sinful is man? How sinful is man? And I tell you, you know why I asked that other question first? Everything starts with God. The Bible starts with God. In the beginning, God. But the reason I ask the question first, how holy is the Lord, is because a man's understanding of sin and the nature of the flesh depends upon his understanding of the holiness of God. That's right. The more you understand, you've got to have something with which to compare it. How sinful is man? Well, if you compare yourself with me, you don't come out looking very bad. You compare yourself with a fellow next to you, you don't lose much either. You see what I'm talking about? Compare yourself with yourself. But when you know what true holiness is, when you know who God is and how holy God is, and then you start looking at your love compared to His love and your forgiveness compared to His and your morality compared to His and your holiness compared to His, you're in trouble. And I am too. You see what I'm saying? Sin is only understood. Sin, you see, is against God. Sin's against God. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Sin's against God. Sin is a transgression of God's law. So if you want to know what sin is, you've got to look at sin in the light of God's holiness. The blackness of sin is understood in the light of God's holiness. The white, burning light of God's holiness reveals sin. Go through the scriptures, and you'll see all of the prophets and the apostles realize their sinfulness only after they saw God's holiness. I know there are a lot of people today claiming to be holiness people and claiming to have holy lives. And what they call holiness is they don't read dirty books, and they don't smoke, and they don't drink, and they don't go to picture show maybe on Sunday, and they don't go to ball game on Sunday, and they don't play cards, and they don't play poker, and don't shoot pool, and these things, you know. But Adam didn't do any of those things either, and he fell. You see, sin has got to be seen in the light of God's holiness, not in the light of do's and don'ts and geographical requirements. And Job was an honest man among men. Job, God called him. He called him a righteous man. Yet when Job saw God's holiness, he saw his sinfulness. When Isaiah was a preacher, he was a prophet. He in Isaiah chapter 5, he was really lambasting everybody. Five times he said, woe is you, woe is you, woe is you, woe is them. And then in Isaiah 6, he saw the Lord. And what did he say then? Oh, woe is me. He thought he was a pretty good fella till he saw the Lord. He thought he was a pretty good fella in the light of the fellas around him. And then when he saw the Lord, he said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I do dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Daniel is another one. Man of devotion and dedication, a man of prayer. But when he saw the Lord, he said, when I saw the Lord, my comeliness, my strength melted into corruption, is the word he used. What? Corruption. Peter saw the power and holiness of Christ. You know what he said? When he saw the power of Christ, he said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. You got no business being in my presence. I'm not fit to be company, fit company for you. Saul of Tarsus said when he saw the holiness of God's law, he said, I died. I literally died. And that's the reason I say people today only talk about their holiness because they've never seen God's holiness. That's right. Now you take Wickham. He said, you are not wise when you compare yourselves with yourselves. That's not smart. That's like one worm comparing himself to another worm. They're both worms. He may have more legs. He may have more pretty spots, but he's still a worm. He's still a worm. We justify ourselves before men, but God looks on the heart, and that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. Here's what God says about us. You want to know what God says about us? I know what we think, but here's what God says. Every imagination of man's heart is evil continually. Everything we think is selfish, sinful, sensual, and keep on going. Psalm 14, verse 2, the Lord looked down from heaven on the children of men to see if there was any that didn't understand and seek God. He said, they're all gone aside. They're all together become stinking is the word. The word in the King James is filthy, but the word is stinking. There's none that doeth good. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Listen, there's not a just man on this earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And that goes for all these so-called prima donna TV preachers too. We're all as an unclean thing. Like the leper of the Old Testament. Unclean, unclean. Our righteousness is a filthy rags. The best you can do before a holy God is repulsive. What's the word? Repulsive. In God's sight. The best you can do. We fade as the leaf. Our iniquities have separated us and our God. I heard a preacher preach a sermon one time on God dwells in no man's land. That'd shock a lot of folks, wouldn't it? God dwells in no man's land. Well, where did he take his text from? No man can look upon God and live. No man has seen God at any time. No man knoweth the Father except the Son. No man can come to me except my Father draw him. And God dwells in a light to which no man can approach. That's no man's land. You see what the Word of God is saying? God is infinitely, unchangeably, incomprehensibly holy. Holy, holy, holy. And us, unchangeably evil, sinful, at our best state. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? That's what Jeremiah asked. Can he? Well, he said, no, it's his nature. Can the leopard change his spots? He said, no, that's his nature. God asked the next question. Can you do good? Nope, that's not your nature. Our nature's sin. That's the reason people have to be born again. That's the reason you have to be regenerated. That's the reason you have to have a recreation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. I've not overstated this. If at all, I've understated it. I haven't begun to describe for you the wickedness and sinfulness and evil of this human flesh. In the flesh, no man can please God. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's right. All right, third question. Now for the third question. And this is asked repeatedly in the book of Job, I think about four times. Well, how can man be just with God? How can man be clean that's born of a woman, born flesh? Why, he said the stars are not pure in God's sight. He charges his angels with folly. Then how can man who drinks iniquity like water, who is the very source and pit and fountain of evil, how can he be clean? Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, who's going to stand? How can man be just with God? Well, people have considered that question. I'm not the first one. And some have turned to sacrifices. Some have turned to ceremonies, ordinances, baptism, things like that, only to find that it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. God said your new moons and your Sabbaths and your feasts are an abomination to me. You see, we just add to our sin by trying to establish a righteousness in sin. That just makes sin worse. And some have turned to Sinai and the law only to find that by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. The law can't forgive. The law can't pardon. The law can only sentence. It can't pardon you. Some have turned to religious works only to find out it's not by works of righteousness which we've done. Some have turned to religious heritage, mamas and daddies, you know. Paul said that one time. He said, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was born a Hebrew, a tribe of Benjamin. I got a good family tree, good line back there. Well, he's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Circumcision is not in the flesh, it's in the heart. Some have turned to the human will only to find it's not of him that willeth, it's of God that shows mercy. Some have turned to duties of religion. That's what those people claimed in Matthew 7. They said, we preached in your name. Can you imagine a man standing in the judgment and finding out that he's damned? And he says, I've preached for 35 years. I was a pastor for 30 years. I did many wonderful works. I built buildings. I built orphanages. I did all these things. God, wait a minute here now. I even cast out devils. And Christ said, I never knew you. That's not the way to God. Works is not the way to God. Good deeds won't take care of your evil deeds. Good deeds won't put away sin. Well, is there an answer? Yes. How can he be clean that's born of a woman? How can man be just with God? Is there an answer? Yes. It says, God, there's forgiveness with thee. It's with him. It's not with us. It's not with the church. It's not with the water. It's not with the bread and the wine. There's forgiveness, not in these things, not in you, not in mom and daddy, the preacher, the priest, the confessional booth, whomever. There's forgiveness with God. That's where it's found. That's the source of forgiveness. That's the fountain of grace. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. There's forgiveness with God. Well, we better find out how we can receive it, hadn't we? Instead of running all over the place trying to establish a righteousness of our own, trying to claim to be what we're not, we're just liars and hypocrites. I'm good and getting better all the time. That's not so. I'm satisfied with my life. Well, God's not. Well, I'm doing the best I can. You are not. You are not. And you're lying, and God knows you're lying. There's forgiveness with God, though. Turn to Romans 3. Now, I want you to listen to this. I'm going to just go down through here and show you some things. If you have any intention of ever finding the way to God, you'll listen. Romans 3:19. Listen. Now we know. Romans 3:19. You got it? Listen. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. And that's you and me. We're under God's law. We're subjects of God's universe, and he's the King of kings and Lord of lords, and we're subject to his law. We're under his law. That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Is that clear? That's you and me. Shut your mouth. Stop your mouth. Quit alibying, excusing, lying. Shut your mouth. You're guilty. Flat guilty. To offend in one point of God's law is to be guilty of the whole thing. Therefore, verse 20, by the deeds of the law, by the works of the flesh, shall no man be justified in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law can't save anybody. Is that clear? But now come on, watch this. But now, right this minute, the righteousness of God, the true holiness of God, without the law, without our obedience, is manifested, clearly manifested, being witnessed or testified by the word of God and by the prophets. What is it? Verse 22. Listen. It is the righteousness of God, which is by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Oh, that's so important. There's a holiness. It's not in this pretended stuff. It's in Christ. It is by His life, it is by His death, it is by His person, it is by His work, it is through His blood. There is a righteousness. Without your works and obedience, it's by His faithfulness and His obedience. Who's it for? It's unto all, it's upon all who believe. It's unto all and upon all who trust in Him, who look to Him. There's no difference. Look at that word. There is no difference. There's no exception. Well, I'll find an exception. There's no difference. Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female, old or young, black or white, there's no difference. Verse 23 says, being justified then freely by His grace, by God's grace, not by works, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Where is it? In Christ Jesus. Not in the church, not in the altar. It's not in the front of the church or in the preacher's hand. It's not in a profession. It's not in your creed or catechism. The Westminster, Heidelberg, London, or Philadelphia, you won't find salvation. It's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, a covering, a mercy seat, an atonement for our sins, to declare His righteousness, to declare God's righteousness, that He might be just and justify all who believe. There you have it. A just God, a sinful man, and a justifying Savior. It's in Christ, by faith. I have two sermons on this tape. One is The True Way to Heaven, and the other one is the message I just preached on, Let's Consider These Things. Send $2 and write for it. Here's the address. We'll mail it to you. God bless you.